Well, Lent's done. It was a challenging Lent in a lot of areas. We had surgeries, hardships, we had deaths. We learned a lot about God's love, his grace, and his mercy to have us continue on, and I'm really, really thankful for that. We learned about what it means to be a witness, and one of the things we talked about was the root of that word, the Greek word for witness is martyrion, the root for martyr. So as we hear about our family in Sri Lanka, we know what a witness that is. But I want to talk about something a little bit different today. I want to talk about Garfield phones. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? Okay. Garfield phones. You know the little orange cat, right? Notoriously hates Mondays, loves lasagna. We know about Garfield, right? Anybody read this story this week? It's my favorite thing I read all week, okay? I read some Augustine this week, some Tertullian, but the thing that stuck with me was the Garfield phones. So here's the story, and the story broke on April 1st. I had to look to see if this was a real thing that happened, and it wasn't an April Fool's joke. This is a true thing. A mystery has been solved in France. There's a small coastal town in France where for the last 30 years, pieces of phones shaped like Garfield the orange cat have been washing up all the time. This is the weirdest thing ever. So one day they're just standing up and a foot comes up like a plastic claw foot. Have you guys ever seen the classic Garfield phone? You pick it up and its eyes kind of close. Pieces of these phones have been showing up on the shoreline in France for like 3 decades in a row. And people have no idea where this is coming from. And finally, it was discovered that there was a crater that had washed up after a big storm in the early 80s. And this crate from the toy company Tyco crashed inside this underwater cave. And what happened is over time, it started to erode. And these Garfield clocks started to seep out of this thing. And people in France, for the longest time, are finding pieces of this cat that hates Mondays. And I love that story. I loved that story. But what I didn't like is that the mystery was solved. Like, that's kind of a cool thing that they finally figured this out. But wouldn't that story be so much better if for, like, the rest of human existence, like, this tiny town in France is finding pieces of Garfield that just wash up. Like, for the rest of time, there's just French people going, like, Garfield? Full disclosure, I don't speak French. But sometimes, some of those mysteries are just best not to be solved. They just make a cool story. It's Easter, as we all know. Praise the Lord. And I love that the Alleluias are back and we're celebrating. And Father Don and I have talked about this a lot of times before. We read these gospel accounts on Easter morning. And I got to be real. I got to be honest here. The accounts on Easter Sunday morning are kind of underwhelming. And here's what I mean by that. Maybe that's blasphemy. Sorry, everyone. But this is the most important moment in the history of the entire world, right? God has broken in, and something that has never happened before in the history of the world has happened. And now the Son of Man, the Savior of the universe, is standing here alive. But our readings today are like muddled with confusion and bewilderment. And they don't, they're not like clean stories, which, first of all, I want to say this. I think it speaks to its authenticity. Because you don't write a story where like the main characters are like freaked out of their minds and completely confused. You want like a clean cut thing. Here's my resurrection morning story, okay? All right. So, sorry, this is a little cinematic, okay? Silence. Okay, it's dark still. Crickets in. Okay, two soldiers, side of a big rock, right? All of a sudden, earthquake, okay? Huge earthquake, okay? Fog machines going everywhere, just starting to come up, right? Maybe some light comes up from the background, ambient light, okay? Soldiers fall to the ground, okay? And then you've got an angel that pounds on a G chord, right? Just hold it down, right? That's the cheeriest of all chords. Everybody knows that, right? Pounding on the G chord. It synthesizes throughout. It radiates everything around. The Marys are just baffled looking at the sky. And now there's 5, 10, 100, 1,000 angels on trumpets just blowing with the G chord, right? Full power that comes out. Meanwhile, Gabriel has got his 1967 Gibson SG Les Paul, right? With the nice humbucker pickups on that, with the Grover tuners. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Sunburst red because it's Easter. And he just plays this really tasteful but really powerful solo, okay? All of a sudden, the drone camera comes in. Okay, and focuses just on his fingers holding this cord out at this moment, and it's projected into the sky, okay? Now, before you think I'm getting too tacky with this, now Jesus comes out of the tomb, floating into the sky, dazzling white, solid gold sandals, and belts in perfect harmony, in perfect tune, perfect pitch, "How Great Thou Art." Wouldn't that be wonderful? And in a big sky, the big sign in the sky just says, "I'm risen." How about something like that? Would that be too tacky? I don't know. That's my Easter story. That's what I think it should look like. This moment that pivots the entire history of the world looks like that. But instead, what we get is bewilderment. Baffled. Bewhelped. Bewattled. Those are all three real words, by the way, believe it or not. Confusion reigns. And it's just almost unsettling in the pit of my stomach. Why is it so confusing? Why is everything so chaotic? It's almost like us ringing our bells in here. It's just everything is going off all at once, right? What's the point of that? Humankind, we just love to know the answers to things. But what happens in this story is, I love the line, like the women just... They told the story and it sounded like it was made up, so everyone went home. That's a weird way to tell it. And Peter goes and he sees grave clothes and he's like, "What? Oh well." Right? The thing about humans is we like to understand why. Why? What's going on? What's happening? I don't get it. And so when we're left on Sunday morning with like less of an hallelujah, but more of like a what? Like, that's a weird way to start Easter. Humans want to know. Humans want to be in the loop. If you don't believe that we have trouble being out of the loop, here, I'm going to social experiment for you guys, okay? You and two friends. One of your friends is in on this joke, okay? So you know, you got two friends here. One knows it, one doesn't, okay? You're just talking, just having a normal conversation, just, you know, something's going on. And then just out of the blue, throw in a phrase that's completely unrelated to anything else that you've been talking about, okay? Maybe you're talking about cars or maybe going to Disneyland or something like that. And just utter a just completely non sequitur phrase like, "Well, Oily Joe strikes again." And now your other friend who knows and he's in on it goes, "Ha ha ha, you're right." Watch what happens to your friend at that moment, the one who doesn't know. He's going to look at you and you just say, "Inside joke, you don't understand." The rage that is induced in that moment in your friend will tell you this: people hate to be out of the loop. And that's why Easter gives me this very unsettled experience in my tummy, because we're out of the loop. History has changed and all of these people are going, "What? I guess I'll just go home then." It's very unsettling. Here's what we know. Here's what we know on Easter morning. Jesus called us. He called misfits, troublemakers, sinners of all kinds, zealots, tax collectors, people who don't seem to fit in this camp of God's friends. He called them out. They watched him do miracles. He taught with authority that nobody has ever seen before. He speaks directly to the Father, and the Father speaks directly to him and about him. And all of the prophets and priests and sages from the beginning of time speak of him. The scriptures speak of his coming and his fulfillment of God's plan from the very beginning. He taught, he preached, he raised the dead, he brought sight back to the blind, he walked on water, he did all of these things. He was tempted, he was arrested, he was unfairly convicted. He He was sentenced to die, and he was crucified. And then we watched him get taken down, quickly buried in a rich man's tomb, and we watched the tomb get sealed. That's what we know. And then, in the morning, this is what we know. Earthquake, tomb rolled away, an angel, a promise, women running away, guys saying it's nonsense, grave clothes, bewilderment. That's where we are. We're out of the loop. It's so unsettling. But here's, I'm going to add, this is my contribution to the Beatitudes. This is Father Brian's Beatitude. I'm allowed to do that, you know, add them if I want. Blessed are the bewildered, because the truth is a-coming. Blessed are the bewildered. The truth is on its way. Why can I say that with such assurance? Because every great story in the Bible begins with absolute confusion and bewilderment. Think about this. Abraham, God, how can I be the father of nations when I don't have one kid and I'm like 90 years old? Confusion. Moses, I'm going to walk toward that bush. Why on earth is that bush not just disappearing as the fire comes? How can I have a baby when I'm a virgin? Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But blessed are the bewildered, because the bewildered come closer. They listen closer. They lean in, they walk closer, and they try to understand, they try to hear. And what Jesus says is to those who seek him, to draw in, to hear more, more understanding is given. So blessed are the bewildered, because the truth is coming. The bewildered are the very ones that get closer. They ask the hard questions to God. They get closer to the bush. They say, behold, I don't get it, but the handmaiden of the Lord is here. They come and see. That's what the bewildered are called to do. When we're confused, when we don't know, when we don't understand, we walk closer. We seek understanding. Now, the beauty of Easter is it's not just one day. We Anglicans spread it out for like 6 weeks. And you'll hear the rest of the stories if you come to church. We do this every Sunday. The beauty is it starts very out of focus, bewildered, and it gets more and more focused, and then we understand. The scriptures have been saying this is happening from the beginning of time. And that blessed bewilderment gets clarified so that we understand and we learn and we hear our brother Thomas, who's really all of us, say, my Lord and my God. It starts to make sense and God clarifies, but it begins with bewilderment. And the bewildered are blessed because they say yes to understanding, yes to leaning in closer and listening. And even though I don't understand it, God, I trust you. And really, isn't that all that faith truly is? Taking that next step, even when the road is dark, trusting that God has all of these mapped out. So blessed are the bewildered, for the truth is coming. And God bless these confusing and bewildered scriptures that we have today. It's okay to say, what does this mean? I don't understand. Because it calls us to lean in closer, to listen, to hear what he has to say. And it's okay to say, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't have all the answers. But nevertheless, you do. Now, this isn't blind faith. Remember the list of here's what we know so far. Our faith and our trust and our understanding and leaning on Jesus comes from the very fact that we have seen him at work. We can trust him because we have seen him work. And that's what leads us to the next thing, where we trust him even more. And then we've seen him work, and we trust him even more, and we see him work. And we continue to take those next steps of faith. But it begins with that blessed bewilderment of Sunday morning on Easter. So maybe you're a little bit more what than hallelujah at this point. That's okay. Because blessed are the bewildered, for the truth is a-coming. And I invite you, if it's your first or your 100th time trusting in him, to say this today. I don't understand. I don't have all of the answers. But nevertheless, Lord, I trust that you do. We know who he is. We know what he has called us to do. And we know that he's alive. And even in that blessed bewilderment, the confusion and cacophony of Easter morning, we know he is there. And he's with us now. And he's alive. So maybe you sit here confused, not understanding the plan. I invite you to say, I'm bewildered. And yet I trust in you. I'm confused, but I will follow. God bless the bewildering Easter morning. And God bless this family that says yes and takes that step of faith. Only dimly lit with the dim-lit road in front of us. He is here. He is alive. Our lives are hid with him. And even in our confusion, even without all the answers, he can be trusted. So I invite you to put your trust in him.